Stugatz here. I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your own home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Got a bit of a conundrum here on how to do the topic I'm about to broach, Stugatz, because if you've been with us for the last 4 years, as many of you have been, we're actually very grateful, despite all your complaints, that you guys listen the way you do, because when you listen and when you're invested, you don't miss a whole bunch.
Right.
You consume this sports radio a little different than most sports radio, which is in and out of your car. We're very grateful that many of you at work and in workouts and everywhere else that you listen to everything that we're doing here. So if you've been a listener for 4 years, you've been someone who's heard most of the 4 years. And so what ends up happening here is that we went from the Colin Kaepernick topic being interesting for however long it was interesting, whether it was 10 days, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever it was before people got tired of it, a certain people, we should say, right? Because it wasn't all people. Over time, it eroded black people's confidence that people were going to discuss it anymore because of how tired white people were specifically of that topic. So now comes a Sports Illustrated report that Colin Kaepernick is as ready as ever to get back into the league. And it was a question that was posed to us on Highly Questionable. And over the years, Stugatz, I don't know, the 10 years we've known Bomani Jones, I don't think I've ever heard him be wrong when he comes in the middle of something and says, it's a wrap, it's over.
Right.
And he said very early on Kaepernick, this is never getting back into the league. Like, it's over. And so the question was posed to us again yesterday off this Sports Illustrated report that he's eager to get back into the league. The conundrum I have is twofold. One, it is really hard to discuss this topic and plow new terrain because almost all of it has been exhaustively covered in a way that even sports radio listeners who are black or sports radio listeners who identify with Colin Kaepernick's cause are also tired of this. But what I want to ask you specifically is, if this isn't the most hopeful time that the people who support Colin Kaepernick would have for having him back in the league, then what the hell would it take if these things combining, Stugatz,
right,
these apocalyptic things combining, where you have not merely a conversation shifting because the center has moved as you see protests in the streets, but you also have the element, and this is not a small one, Stugatz, that the paying customers who would be booing and protesting at your games aren't going to be paying and booing at your games. And so you're not actually going to be losing money, the money you think you're going to be losing in ticket sales. So you've got that. And then on top of that, you've got the feeling that freedom is falling, that America, that freedom's falling apart, that basically America is fighting with its stormtrooper arm or another part of their militia that has never been a part of their militia. The police force is sitting here fighting people in the streets. If all of those things combined do not merge to get Colin Kaepernick a job, then what does?
I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. If he doesn't get hired and get hired pretty soon, I'd be pretty surprised by the NFL to play quarterback in the NFL.
You'd be surprised if it didn't happen?
I'd be very surprised if a team did not sign Colin Kaepernick in the next couple of weeks here. I would be near, Dan, I'd be floored by it.
I mean,
I don't know what it is you're looking at that I'm not seeing, if you'd be surprised by inaction on this front, because I've been surprised
right.
for 4 years. I can't be surprised anymore.
The grounds are certainly fertile, and the support for this is probably as loud, certainly as loud as it's ever been on the Kaepernick front. The only thing that could help his case more is probably being 4 years younger. Because he's 32 years old, he's been away from the game. There's certainly, look, Cam Newton's 31, and he's running, largely what's happening with him is health, but he's also 31 years old, and NFL teams are going to be like, why am I going to invest my time in a 31 or 32-year-old when I could look at my options in the draft?
But that's an important distinction to make, that Cam Newton has played while Colin Kaepernick has been sitting. Kaepernick is healthy. Cam has played, and he's banged up, and his body's a mess. And so, if it's not now, it's never happening. But I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen right now.
I don't think yours is the majority opinion. I don't think that, I would think that there are more reasons to be hopeful about that than there have been at any point in the last 4 years. But I don't think that that necessarily makes me hopeful, given that the last time we actually heard from an owner on this subject, it was that Baltimore mafioso saying, pray for us. We're considering bringing him in as a backup. And his response was, pray for us.
The only time we've ever really heard pushback on Colin and his camp in terms of getting NFL opportunities was with the most recent tryout fiasco that resulted in him switching venues and going to a high school, and only met one team, I think, sent a representative. It wasn't all the teams that were out there. He did come close to signing with the Seattle Seahawks, and we never really heard what happened there. He obviously came close with Baltimore, and we have idea, rumor, and innuendo from Twitter accounts, from Ray Lewis, from Pray For Us, of what happened there, but there is somewhere that the NFL, there is a threshold that the NFL has to cross in regards to what Colin Kaepernick wants out of this, and certainly that hasn't been met either.
And you've heard Pete Carroll be remorseful in how he kind of went about that over the last couple of weeks. So plus you sprinkle in, like, you have to factor this in. Excuse me, my voice.
Oh my God. Oh,
I just cleared
you
it
have
out.
A cough. $2. That's a $5 fine.
I'm not used to having a cough. I gotta be honest.
To retrain yourself.
That is $5. You still owe 50. You killed someone yesterday.
Killed the wrong person. Yeah.
I didn't kill the wrong person.
No, you killed Gary Matthews.
I did
Jr.
not kill Gary Matthews.
You were thinking of Gary Matthews.
I killed Claudel Washington.
Yeah, but
what
the projection in your you mind did. Was Gary yeah. Matthews. Yeah.
I mean, here's 20. That's five for me, 15, I spot you.
You
still
owe so much from the entire time we were off.
Well,
yes,
so do you. That makes both of us.
Yes, Chris, what do you have on this subject? And I asked the question again to the audience. I don't know if there's a way to discuss this particular subject that feels fresh to you.
But, Dan, I was going to say, especially when you factor in Bruce Arians saying, hey, I need a third quarterback. I need a quarantine quarterback, because if one of my quarterbacks tests positive for COVID, they have to be quarantined for 14 days. And teams might carry 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks, I've heard teams say, because they're so worried about it. Now, that's a ridiculous way for Colin Kaepernick to get back into the league because of those concerns. But when you factor all of this in together, how can Colin Kaepernick not be signed in the next couple of weeks by an NFL team?
It's actually not a ridiculous way for him to get into the league. Everyone had all these questions about why are the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts? Because there is a growing sentiment within the NFL that you're probably going to need two quarterbacks, because what happens if one of your guys gets sick? That's how you see a 32-year-old quarterback that hasn't played the game in 4 years get a job. Andy Dalton, high price backup for the Dallas Cowboys. Teams are preparing for this possibility.
And the specialty skills that he does have at 32 years old do give you options.
Right.
Like
based on what we saw 4 years ago.
Based on what you saw 4 years ago, but he is certainly more athletic even 4 years later. As a guy who I think still owns the quarterback record for playoff rushing yards, he's still more athletic than half the quarterbacks in the league, even with 4 years of rush.
I would have
it.
More faith in his athleticism yes. at this point than even yes. Cam Newton's. And Cam Newton is the greatest single rushing threat at that position in the history of the game.
I want to be clear. What Bruce Arians said is he's going to keep a quarterback, or he's thinking about keeping one in quarantine the entire season in the event that Brady tests positive and has to sit 2 weeks, and then he has a quarterback who's in quarantine. I mean, if Kaepernick gets signed and gets sent immediately to quarantine, I don't know.
Solitary confinement.
This year, more than ever, you need more than one quarterback, not just because of the danger that goes along with that position, but with all the uncertainty about the pandemic.
Chris, what did you want to say here?
I just think it's funny that Dan comes in with what seems like a little bit of a bold take that with everything going on, Kaepernick could potentially, no time has made more sense for a potential comeback, and Stugatz goes flying past him with, I'd be surprised if he didn't get a shot.
Thank you, Chris. Just, Chris, you know what? Thank you. Well, because he needs to be the first to that take. There's no one else in America saying that. Like there's there is literally no one else in the country with access to a microphone saying, I'd be surprised if Kaepernick's not in the league. You're literally the only one saying it. So I'm here just pushing the envelope a little bit, just saying, hey, look, you got an apocalypse. You got a race war. You got the government fighting its people and freedom falling. You've got a pandemic, and Stugatz shoots past me in the passenger car of the Wienermobile as it slingshots past me right to, I'd be surprised and shocked if it didn't happen in the next 10 days.
What I do. SPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your SportsCenter update. NASCAR has announced that the display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all events and NASCAR properties. Following the announcement, Martin Truex Jr. won the NASCAR Cup Series at Martinville. Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's lone black driver and the person who called for the sanctioning body to ban the Confederate flag from racetracks, finished 11th, driving the number 43 hashtag Black Lives Matter car. And finally, Zoom temporarily shut the account belonging to a group of U.S.-based Chinese activists after they held an event to commemorate the 31st anniversary of China's Tiananmen Square crackdown. There were a lot of like roadblocks there. I was surprised and shocked to get through the first two temporarily. That's Mike knows that stuff from me. And commemorate. And then I butchered something at the end there. The important.
You should probably know that one.
Well, you're right. I should. But I'm me. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, a number of things I want to get to. This Jerry Richardson statue, a thing that I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime from the Boston Red Sox. We have only spent the last 15 years feuding with all things Boston about Boston denying that it's not what it has been accused of being by its own black athletes, and what the Red Sox did is not something that I was expecting. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, I have to tell you about one of the many difficulties that come with working with the inconsistent Stugatz. Now, he is a hypochondriac, okay? So he is running through our parking garage because he doesn't trust that the coronavirus isn't in there. The number of times in the last 3 days, the way we're doing this show right now is very carefully and very meticulously. We take our temperatures before coming in here. We're always 6 feet apart. Stugatz was wearing two masks for a while there.
Yep.
And so Stugatz is being as responsible as I've seen him be. He is being mortified every time he accidentally touches a door handle, and he's only done that a couple of times.
I touched a button in the garage elevator on Monday, and I have not been the same since. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you.
Spinning a lot of plates. It's allowed for direct honesty when I look in there and I tell both of you guys, hey, you're wearing your mask backwards. Stugatz just quickly gets back. We're old! This is new for us.
But listen to this. With all the precautions, okay, this is something that actually happened during the break, okay? With all of the precautions we're taking, Mike has placed a tape measure between me and Stugatz to make sure that we are 6 feet apart, okay? during one of the breaks, I'm not making this up, this is how it happened. Stugatz, with his hands in his pants, a hand in his pants.
Yeah.
You know how he does that thing where he like rubs his belly and then it slinks down into his pants and then he's walking with a hand underneath his belt? Stugatz starts, I don't know, 2 feet above me. I'm sitting in a chair and he's standing 2 feet above me with, you know, something that can be transmitted orally and by air.
Right.
And starts just giving me this hot take that I have to interrupt by simply saying to him, get away from me. Like, it was just a very clear and crisp, get away from me. And he legitimately, for a second, thought it was just because of his opinion.
Yes.
Like, he didn't, yeah. He thought it was because, and it could have been, because it was another sports opinion that he was giving me that I have not missed the last 3 months, having it travel with spittle and land on my face because he has a sports opinion.
I should have been wearing a mask, but you need to understand the rope rule. You and I are on a rope, okay? You're sitting by the fridge, which, you know, is fairly normal for you. You are sitting by the fridge.
That was too easy.
I need to get to the fridge. So if I move 2 feet towards you, you have to move 2 feet away from me, okay, to maintain our social distance. Otherwise, it never would have happened. I blame me all you want.
The only thing in the fridge is water. You can ask me to get you some water, and it had nothing to do with the fridge. You were standing over me with spittle attached to your opinion.
I don't want you touching my water. I mean, dry cough every now and then. I'm a little concerned. I am. I mean, I am. And I apologize.
I mean, how can you not be? You work at a hotel on South Beach and the beach is reopening. I understand that. And
did you just peter out there or are you just apologizing? What happened?
I'm apologizing to you. It was wrong what I did to you. But I'm just saying the rope rule, okay? You move to me, I move away from you. I move to you, you move away from me, okay? That's the way it needs to work.
I understand the way the rope rule should work, but the way that you do the rope rule is, hey, Dan, you do everything. Like, that's the way you do the rope rule. Dan, when I'm moving, you move, and when you're moving, you move. Like, your rope rule is not equal. Your rope rule is me handle everything.
It's an unfair relationship.
Which is not, I should probably mention, just as unrelenting an occurrence as me sitting by a fridge. So I wanted to get to this Red Sox story, but what can I say about the Jerry Richardson story to sort of explain this to the audience, what's happening here? For years, we have been making fun of this ego-soaked, vanity, ridiculous, just really super heavy statue that has existed outside of the Carolina Panthers facility. It is Jerry Richardson, I think in a suit. Again, bloated with ego, and there are two Panthers with enormous testicles that are near him, and he is in control of these two Panthers. And when that Tepper guy bought the Carolina Panthers, we delighted in playing this sound of the new owner saying he wasn't allowed to move that Jerry. The $2 billion bought him the ability to be in the room, but he did not get to choose the furniture.
There's a 13-foot statue of Jerry Richardson outside the North Gate. Do you plan to leave that as is or move it?
I'm contractually obligated to keep that statue as it is.
Contractually obligated to keep that statue as is. Again, it is Jerry Richardson in a suit holding a football with two Panthers, one to his left, one to his right, with enormous testicles. That was contractually in the deal when Tepper brought the Carolina Panthers.
Well, but so now what's happened here? Is Tepper moving around like a loophole by saying that for safety reasons he is moving the statue, is that real or does Tepper just like moving it to where? Storage? Where's he moving it? To another part outside of the stadium?
I've read a lot on this because I'm the only person in this studio that's actually been seen pictured with the enormous Panther testicles next to the statue of Jerry Richardson. It's an affinity I have for this statue. It's one of the great statues outside of the Jerry Richardson part. They are citing public safety in removing this down because I don't know what you know about Jerry Richardson and how he ceased being owner of the Carolina
Panthers. Well, he vanished very quickly. For those of you who do not know.
Almost as quickly as his statue did.
He was one of the quieter billionaire Me Too removals you will ever see. And like it happened so fast and it did not get very much attention at all. And next thing you know, the Panthers had a new owner and Jerry Richardson was no longer getting foot massages.
And it allowed us to either fairly or unfairly speculate that if this is what we heard about and considering how quickly he left the premises, there's probably more to the story.
So we will talk more about the wonders of this statue all show today because obviously it is delightful.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments, from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I fought through that one. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. LeBron James and a collection of black athletes and entertainers are teaming together in a new group called More Than a Vote, geared toward energizing black voters and thwarting voter suppression. Good job by LeBron again, man. Adrian Wojnarowski reports that players deciding against participating in Orlando could be replaced by a substitution player. NBA plans to allow replacements for players who test positive for COVID-19 or suffer injuries. Replaced players become ineligible for the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. And finally, Kelsey Grammer will star alongside former WWE Hall of Famer Adam Edge Copeland in Money Play. Edge's character has to rob a futuristic airborne casino filled with the world's most dangerous criminals. I'm there.
He has to get $1 billion from an airliner. That's a casino. What a cast. Denise Richards. Another country heard.
Really? But imagine an airplane just full of the world's most dangerous criminals.
It's a high-stakes game.
Wow. Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah, yeah. Edge owes Kelsey Grammer a lot of money.
You guys told me he was in the Expendables or one of those Expendables movies.
Yeah, he replaced Nicolas Cage. Can you imagine how good the Expendables would have been?
Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's NAVAGE.com or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You mentioned good job, LeBron, with partnering with More Than a Vote to inform and engage and energize voters. And I'm going to side with Joshua Wong here, who is one of the student heads of the fight for democracy in Hong Kong, when he writes of LeBron James, defending democracy is vital, but King James only talks loud in the U.S. On China, not only is he silent, he actively shuts others up. He called Daryl Morey misinformed and not really educated for supporting hashtag Hong Kong. All he cares about is money, not human rights. Hypocritical. Now, I hesitate to call people hypocritical. I think that by and large, human beings are inconsistent. And so there are many layers to these discussions, and it would have been far better if LeBron had simply sat it out to protect his business interests. What he did, I believe, is the worst public act of a lifetime that has spent two decades in front of us and has generally been a model and a pillar for good athlete behavior. I don't believe he had a worse public moment in his life. Not JJ Barea, not posting up, not anything he said or done has been worse than how he specifically handled the Hong Kong stuff, protecting his interests and basketball's interests. You could criticize Steve Kerr too, but Steve Kerr's voice merely got lost in China and became silent. He wasn't actively coming out on the wrong side of things the way LeBron James was. So I understand this criticism of LeBron James, that he doesn't care about all people. He cares about his people. I don't think that that's fair on unfair on this particular issue to say this isn't caring about equality for all people. It's caring about equality for your people.
It's totally fair. I criticized LeBron at the time for not speaking up more. You can criticize others in the NBA, as you pointed out, Steve Kerr, the NBA general.
No, here's the thing, right? We all have bosses. Like, it was clearly something that the NBA didn't want anyone talking about. Like, Steve Kerr doesn't want to sit that one out. Do you think the way his father died? You think that Steve Kerr wants to sit that one out when his father dies overseas trying to fight for religious freedom, where terrorists kill him? Steve Kerr doesn't want to sit that one out. And his silence is something that makes it obvious that the employer is making you sit that one out. And it's very easy for you or me to be at microphones criticizing people for sitting out things that go against their employer when most people listening to me right now would not publicly go against their employer.
I don't know why I got
cut off. Been cleaned? I mean, has it been cleaned? Do we know?
It's three times.
It's filled with COVID-19, but it's being cleaned three times a day. So it's very clean COVID-19 that you're now reaching in.
I mean, the studio's being cleaned three times a day. We think this box is being cleaned three times a day. We're down to two batteries and one question and a bunch of COVID-19.
All right, give me the one question from the Magic Creative Content. Let's make sure not to touch fingers, even though you say you bite your nails, and your fingernails are the longest, grossest things I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
A couple squirts there, Stu.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of secret society would you like to start? I'm not even sure I know what a secret society is, other than, you know, it's a society that's secret. Like, I don't even know.
I know which one I'd start, but I can't tell you.
I want to know, like, what's the most famous secret society? Is it the Skulls? The Masons?
Skulls.
Hmm.
You never saw that movie, The Skulls? The Skulls.
It's a bad 1998 movie, isn't it?
Josh Jackson.
Dead Poet Society.
But are you familiar with what, like, the working aims of a secret society? I gotta tell you, you guys have hit a real pocket of ignorance for me. I know next to nothing about secret societies.
The Heisman House.
Do you guys out there have anything in the way of secret society nominees? Club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they all wore Zubas.
Billy, do you have anything here? I imagine that you would like to start a secret society about shower caddies, given how much you've been talking about shower caddies. Would that be a purpose to get behind?
Well, the thing about secret societies, Dan, is if you know about them, they're doing it wrong because they're no longer secret societies. You're aware of the society. Now, shower caddies. Oh, Dan, love to talk shower caddies. You have a shower caddy, Dan?
I'm not sure what it is. Is it just something that sort of hangs from the wall that holds just sort of the things in your shower? I do not have a shower caddy. No.
Just something that hangs and holds the shower caddies have changed my life, Dan. I'm going to tell you that the most excited I think I've been so far staying home under quarantine is the day that my shower caddy came. Oh, my God. Before you know what I was doing, I just had my shampoo and my conditioner and my body wash on the floor like an animal. Now I have all this extra room. I can move around. I can do all kinds of things in this shower. And then I just have to reach up. I don't know how your shampoo, what's your shampoo situation like? Mine has a little pump at the top because I got like the big tub, you know, because it's cheaper, you know, per ounce. When you go to the store, do you look? Cause it'll say like, you know, this is so many ounces or whatever. And it'll give you like a price per ounce next to the thing, right? Have you noticed that? You always assume if you get the big, not just on shampoo, on almost everything, on sodas, on, you know, Rice Krispies treats, whatever it is that you buy. If you look at it, it'll say, you know, however many cents per ounce, right? And you always think, oh, the big one is cheaper. It's worth it. Not always the case. If you look at it, sometimes it'll say this much per ounce and it's actually cheaper. Also, don't always buy in bulk. The other day I was buying baby wipes.
What does this have to do with shower caddies?
What is we're talking about grocery stores now. Okay. We've moved on to grocery stores. Okay. I was looking at baby wipes, right? And one of them was like $1.79 or something like that, right? And then you look at it and three of them, it's like, oh wow, it's like five something. Like it's three together. They're taped together. It's three of them. I need to get the three, right? No, it was more expensive that way. I bought three individual ones and I saved some money. That's why you always got to look at a little price per ounce on the thing.
What does that have to do with shower caddies?
Or secret societies.
Shower caddies.
Or secret societies. Yeah, secret
the Illuminati, societies. By the way, most famous secret society, right? And in the Mile High Club.
Well, is the Illuminati real? Like, do we know?
Is the Illuminati real?
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Did that answer the question?
Just a, the thing that happens.
Laugh.
How else would you realize that Ryan Seacrest hosts everything?
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Do you have a shower caddy? And Billy asked me a series of questions. He didn't leave me any space to answer any of them. So I will answer one and tell you that I have a bench in my shower. And so that is where some of the stuff goes.
He has an actual shower caddy, like a golfer, that just tells him, okay, time for the head and shoulders.
That's absolutely
little
right.
Too much
that's
there, it. Dan. I'll even it
right.
out.
I go in there and I just hand my bag of stuff to a caddy who stands there in full golf regalia under the shower and just hands me what I need.
I want to go pitching wedge here.
And Mike Ryan knows because it is Mike Ryan.
SBN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Marty Smith going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Penzol Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. LeBron James and a collection of black athletes and entertainers are teaming together in a new group called More Than a Vote, geared toward energizing black voters and thwarting voter suppression. Adrian Wojnarowski reports that players deciding against participating in Orlando could be replaced by a substitution player. NBA plans to allow replacements for players who test positive for COVID-19 or suffer injuries. Replace players become ineligible for the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. And finally, an ant can survive a fall from almost any height because their terminal velocity would never be high enough to injure them. It's crazy.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you know an ant can basically survive a fall from any height?
The latest 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer, directed by A.J. Schnock, takes viewers back to the summer of 98 and what a summer it was when the Cardinals' Mark McGwire and the Cubs' Sammy Sosa embarked on a chase of one of the game's most hallowed records, igniting the passion and imagination of fans and non-fans everywhere.
Little did we know there would be a price to pay.
Long Gone Summer premieres this Sunday, June 14th at 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN2. The film will be available to stream on ESPN Plus following the debut. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did ESPN's documentary Hot Streak end with B. Water at Lebatard Show?
Yeah.
Marty Smith's America, you need to check it out. Before we get to Marty Smith, though, Mike Ryan wanted in on this Boston Red Sox discussion we were having. Was there a hole in what it is that we were talking about?
Well, I think Dan was alluding to it, and while we're all happy that the Red Sox are finally taking a leadership position, and it's not a little thing in that market, and I get it, hate to be that guy, but this would have been really great when Carl Crawford, one of your own, is out there telling you this. Would have been great when David Price was saying this. Would have been great when Adam Jones was recently saying this. This is not a new thing. This is something that was an open secret. A lot of players said this, and it would have been nicer, I think, and more effective if you led back then and actually had these players' backs.
Well said. That's where I was headed.
Well, not exactly well said.
Marty Smith with us now. I was told, Marty Smith, that you were a bit of a yammer on Golic and Wingo, and I am demanding that you tighten it up around here because you need to be reined in because you are a rodeo cowboy and you do not like limits. So let's begin, and thank you for joining us is what I meant to say. Let us begin with all the information you can give us because you cover the Carolinas like no one else on Jerry Richardson's statue and what's happening there.
Well, they took the statue down, and that's a landmark day. But, you know, to be honest with you, as that was unfolding, I was in Martinsville, Virginia, covering the NASCAR race, and then ultimately the news that the Confederate flag is in. And so it's just the movement that's taking place in the country. And the tentacles that come with equality in every way and within every definition is very profound. And we didn't know as Charlottesians if that statue would ever come down. Some people really wanted it to be, but if I'm not mistaken, I think there was some contractual language that it could not be.
Well, let's play that here. This is the part that we're confused by. Let's play this for the audience that is new to this story. The new owner buys the team for $2 billion as Jerry Richardson slinks out the door with some sort of thing that we don't really know a lot of the details about, but some sort of misbehavior with women seems to have been the reason that he let go of his team that he didn't want to sell. And here is the new owner, Tepper, talking about how he couldn't move the statue.
There's a 13-foot statue of Jerry Richardson outside the North Gate. Do you plan to leave that as is or move it?
I'm contractually obligated to keep that statue as it is.
So what happens there? Why did it move? Like, do you know? I know that you were covering something else, but is there
I don't have any insight on the why. I have a little bit more TV to make today, I think. And then I want to know that myself as someone who supports the Panthers. I think, again, this is my opinion, and I believe that it's a time in our country where people who have felt oppressed in any way have an unbelievably strong voice. And I believe that probably those voices overwhelmed that contractual language. I look forward to learning that too, Dan.
All right. Well, we will get back to you on that. I think we're still waiting for you to have some reporting from the Masters on why it is we never see.
Correct.
We never see animals out there. So feel free. If you want to come on tomorrow and answer, or just come on next time when you have answers to a couple of those questions, if you don't mind, after you've done the reporting.
They said the Panthers are saying that thing's going away. It's going away for good. When Tepper delivers that, you can hear his voice just soaked in shame that he agreed to that.
Put this on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you love to watch rich people fight about petty things? Because I do believe it's something that we all enjoy. This Ray Cicerelli, the NASCAR truck driver who says he's done with...
When you say that fast, Ray Cicerelli, you're kind of saying
this,
something.
This racist Cicerelli, who says that he's still fighting for the Confederate flag and that he won't come back to NASCAR truck driving where he's never won a race. Like, what is that? What is
What's
that?
Happening with racist Cicerelli?
What is happening with racist Cicerelli?
I've covered the sport for 18 years, which is nearly half my life, and I had not heard of Ray Cicerelli until yesterday. And if he wants to pack up his crap and he wants to take it on to the house and not be associated with NASCAR anymore, that's his prerogative as an American citizen. But if that's his perspective on the situation, I imagine that a lot of people would say, hey, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, and send him on down a road.
Wow. That is the meanest, Marty. That is the meanest I've ever heard Marty Smith. That was an outburst. That was a total outburst.
Totally dunked on him. I mean, number one, I've never heard of you. I've never heard of you, guy. Get out of here.
And also, though, it's such a great Marty phrase. Do not let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's the ass crack, lady. Ladies and gentlemen,
it is.
But Marty speaks too kindly. I can't believe this is an enraged Marty Smith right here. Well, explain to us, Marty. Explain to us as quickly as you can here, because we've only got a couple of minutes left. What is happening with the Confederate flag, and what specifically you saw yesterday that would represent progress from NASCAR, which badly needs this, even as it's improved over the years.
Do that in 30 seconds, yeah. Marty.
The fact that they did it, that's all you need to know. The sport's 72 years old, and it took them 72 years until yesterday in order to make this decision. And the reason the decision happened was because of the convergence of variables that is the social change that's being pushed in the United States of America. A successful, uber-respected black driver who makes himself vulnerable, and his peers, including seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson, who got behind this initiative based on the disgust of what he's seen, of what's happened to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and saying, I have to be the change, and bringing everyone with them, those two men, and demanding of NASCAR, it's time for change. And when Bubba goes on CNN, and he goes on ESPN, and he says, get rid of the damn flag, NASCAR had two choices. You can either listen and act, or you can ignore. And for the first time, they listened and acted.
Marty, thank you. Always good catching up with you. Marty Smith's America. Check it out. Get answers to those things and join us later this week with those answers, if you don't mind. We need Jerry Richardson statue information, okay?
I'm on it. There's this squirrel. There's this device called the Yankee Flipper that lures the squirrels in and launches them like a catapult. Look it up on the internet. I love every one of you so much. Goodbye.
Is that what the Masters is doing? Are you saying that the Masters is catapulting squirrels off of its course?
They might have the Augusta Flipper. Settle down.
See you later.
Yeah, until November. Get it done. Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show. Win Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number is 3030. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Chael Sonnen going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Penzol Performance Line. He has pledged $500 to watch Dan front row in Dana's corner.
In my corner. He doesn't want to be in Dana's corner. He wants to be in my corner.
Wants a front row view of Dan getting beat up by Dana. I want to help Dan. Just wants to watch Dan get beat up. Chael will join us coming up in a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Soccer Federation's Board of Directors voted to repeal its policy requiring national team players to stand during the national anthem. English Premier League players will wear Black Lives Matter as their nameplates on the back of their kits and will kneel in tribute prior to kickoff of the opening round of fixtures next week.
Fixtures?
And finally, when Charles Darwin made a list of the pros and cons for marriage, the pros included constant companion and a friend in old age. Better than a dog, anyhow. The cons, less money for books and terrible loss of time. The bad outweighs the good, I have a feeling. I don't know. Want to breathe better? Sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier. Then take my advice and do what I do. Try Navage. Car wash for your nose. I use it every single day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. Or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Before we get to Chael Sonnen, Chris Cody was clenching his fists as the last segment ended because he wanted to get in with something and there was not time. What did you want to get in with, Chris Cody?
I was just curious if you guys saw the new blackjack tables at the Allegra Hotel.
So Chael Sonnen is with us now on ESPN Radio. You can check out the Ariel and the Bad Guy podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts. You management shill. Like, honest to God, what happened to you, Sonnen? You used to be a man of the people. Like, what happened to you? How can you side with Dana White on this? How?
Don't kill time by giving a plug to me and Ariel's show. Let's get down to it. You thought it was a good idea to call out a street kid from Boston who accepted the challenge. I mean, where do we stand on that? Have you accepted or have you found your way out?
Shaq just offered $500 guy $1 million to slap me. You $250K doesn't get me in my underwear at the weigh-in.
Wow. Wow, but it was your idea. I'm just saying, I mean, in all fairness, I'm sure he'll give you a beating or he'll give you a way out, but I'm not sure he'll accept anything in between. It kind of seems as though you're a little bit stuck, and I do realize that you're talking a little bit more coherently now, but just take me back in all fairness. What were you thinking at the time that those words left your mouth?
I will tell you what I was thinking. I was fighting for fighter pay. We had an uncomfortable interview. Yes, you're going to laugh at this. I was fighting for you guys to get paid better. I was fighting for Bones Jones and Masvidal and Randy Couture and George St. Pierre and everyone else.
They need help fighting, Chael.
That's right. I was fighting the man. I was fighting management.
He was fighting your fight, Chael.
Yes, that's right.
And you was making it about himself.
And you went to the other side.
No, that's wonderful. So just so I have this right, because I missed the interview, we had an entitled millionaire arguing for other millionaires to make more millions. That's what happened? I mean, those are fighting terms?
Chael, your sport is the only one that doesn't publicly reveal its numbers. Your sport gives less than 20% of the revenue to the people who are breaking their bodies while the other sports give double that. Like, what's the matter with you?
Look, I like what you're saying. What you're saying is very sweet, and I'm with the boys as well. Of course you would like to get more money, but in all fairness, you kind of double-talked right there. You just said our sport doesn't reveal numbers, and then you revealed a number of 20%. Nobody really knows, in all fairness. And you know what? I got to tell you this. Other sports did not plan for a rainy day, and so many people have argued that Dana's running away with all the money. Look, the mere fact that he has a fund – a general fund over there for a rainy day, and it happens to be in quite a storm right now, and he can keep the lights on, is proof that he's not running away with it. Yes, he is stashing it. Yes, sure. He's lived through and understood that there's ups and downs and plateaus, but that's called responsibility. How about a pat on the back for that?
He sold his franchise for $4 billion. He doesn't need a pat 4. On the 2. Back.
4.2. Okay. Excuse me, 0.2.
Okay, 4.
I mean, that might come in handy somewhere. He might need that 0.2. What if he gets in a jam?
And so you've lent, explain, you have said that you will lend $500. You have added $500 to Dana White's $250,000 offer because you simply want to see my face turned into hamburger?
You know, I feel like you're very dismissive of that $500. I feel like you should say it more like this. $500.
It helps.
Like a little more Dr. Evil spin on it, if you will, Dan. I'm on your side of this. I want you to have what you want. This was your idea. I'm backing you. You think I'm backing Dana? I'm backing you. My friend, my ace, Dan Levitard, had a dream. I want to see it come true out of kindness, out of friendship.
So he underpays his fighters. You dispute this?
You know, there's a few things you're going to need before you fight Dana. You're going to need a mouthpiece, for example. You're going to need a cup. You're going to need to make sure your friends and family have black suits. Like, there's stuff that we've got to check off the list before we just go jump in the ring here, Dana.
How long would it take?
You challenged a street kid from Boston by way of Las Vegas What are you thinking?
Jail's right. How long would the fight take, Jail? Like, how long would it take for Dana to beat him?
Well, you know, not very long. I would imagine as long as he wants, in all fairness. Now, here's the good news for our friend Dan, okay? They have not agreed on the rules. I mean, we there's a lot of things we could do here to fight, quote-unquote, this out. I mean, we don't have to go MMA. We don't have to box. There's grappling. We could maybe turn it into an arm wrestling contest. But either way, it's mano a mano. You and the boss. That much I do know. That was established.
Oh, no, he's going to take his time with you, Dan.
It's going to be surgical. This guy called me a charlatan. Chael Sonnen, it's such a great word. Charlatan on television. I had no rebuttal. But you, being someone who is sitting here objecting to the idea that I am trying to get your fighters better pay, that I am trying to get the amount of money out in the public, it doesn't make any sense to me that you would be on the other side of that.
I think that that's very sweet. I really do. And good for you. But I would also encourage the fighters to have something known as integrity. When you have a deal and you shake hands, you now have a deal. And if things change and there's an ROI for the guy that took all the risk, good for him. Most of the fighters are a big, colossal loss. I mean, it's just the reality. People think that people aren't in fight promotion because there's a monopoly. They're not in fight promotion because it's the world's hardest business and they don't have the stomach for it. It's just a really tough thing. Look, if you have a deal, you got to see it through. And I do think that goes both ways. But don't forget what else Dana told you, which is things are very different right now in my business. Sponsorships are different. Livegate does not exist. The expenses to adhere to the commissions who oversee are very tough. But that's for me to figure out. I'm not asking anybody to take less. I'm not asking the cameraman. I'm not asking the person that sweeps the billing up at the end of the night. I will burden this, whatever it is. But I'll honor my side. Come on. He has every reasonable expectation to also expect them to honor their side, in fairness.
Without a union and in the world's hardest business that came out of nowhere and doesn't have fighting people organized. And also, by the way, and I think you know this, even though you come from a different place, many of the people fighting don't have another choice in terms of where else they could fight. And furthermore, many of the people fighting are broke before fighting. They don't actually have any money getting into this game. Usually guys aren't sane when they choose that, come from money to choose this sport. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think that you're very right. But I also think that there's other piece of history we have to look at. I mean, don't forget how exciting the Olympics are. And there is no money. In fact, that's a rule that you can't take money. Or even if you were to look at the NCAA, if you were to look at the world of mixed martial arts, the minimum contract when I debuted in 2005 was $2,000. You got $2,000 to show up and you got $2,000 to win. That was the minimum. I personally was on the minimum. It also represented the most I'd ever made. The minimum right now is 10 and 10. And I can't think of any other industry, in all fairness. You could go to big oil, Fortune 500 companies. I can't think of anybody who has raised the bottom 500% in that short of a period of time. But I don't ever hear that side of the story being told.
What did you get paid as one of the main draws with your mouth? What did you get paid for fighting Anderson Silva?
Well, I had points on that. So, you know, there was pay-per-view points that broke records. To answer your question, because I've revealed it to you before, and of course I'm going to look like a total jerk, $8 million.
That's pretty good, right? Like, that's not bad money for that. That's something that's because that's a bad. It's a headline fight, and it feels like it's great money. But what do you think that fight made for everybody involved? Did you take a look at what percentage of that was against, you know, pay-per-view buys in general and revenue in general?
Oh, yes. I had audit rights. I saw all of those numbers. But, Dan, I will tell you, I will never do a job for anybody. I mean, my ego would be greatly affected if I took a job for anybody and did not make them money. That is my job. If I don't want that to be my job, then I can go down, fill out a promoter's license, put down $100, and go into business against them. It's very fair and it's very above board. And I got to tell you, though, my guarantee was very small. I just wanted to fight Anderson Silva. They could keep their money, but I also come from that NCAA and that Olympic mindset. It was about the sport. It was about the game. It was about the accomplishment and the honor. There's something new about this that is about the money, and I'm watching how big the money is. I look back at the guys who couldn't even dream of a bonus or dream of a guarantee of $50,000. The Mark Colemans of the world, the Mark Kerrs, the Don Frys, the Marco Huazes, the Hoist Gracies. I only bring that up because these guys paved the way. But they never complained once. They were thrilled to have an opportunity. And so many guys are like that. But the guys, the 3 and 4, that now have to have a big carrot dangled in front of them, or all of a sudden also have the loudest voices. This is not a phenomenon within our industry. Our sport is very, very happy for a chance to compete. I just want to make sure that part of the story is told fairly.
What should John Jones be paid for a heavyweight fight, given that he's probably the best fighter we've ever seen?
Yeah, I don't know about the heavyweight fight, but again, the way John will be paid is he will get participation. He will literally be given a piece of business for that night. Now, he doesn't have to put up any risk. He doesn't have to put up any capital. He will just be given that. I think with the right fight, and I know the one that you're referring to was Ngannou was thrown around. I think that's a very fun fight. I think that's going to do very good numbers. So based on what those numbers come in, it's based how he will be rewarded. If we're all wrong and that's not a big fight, well, then it's not a big fight. But I personally think he would probably walk away with around $5 million.
I know that you, I mean, John Jones should be making more fighting in the heavyweight division than you are fighting.
That's
Anderson
the point. You're
Silva.
Leaving money on the table,
I don't know. I don't know the distinction about it being in the heavyweight division. UFC is a little different. Like,
oh, but I'm just talking about John Jones as a draw. Like, I'm just talking about John Jones as someone.
It's a lot of money. It feels light for someone of his caliber. It does.
But, fellas, would you agree with me that he would be paid based on what it brings in? There's not any, hey, what you did yesterday or how good you are. It's how many people want to see you fight. So the structure along that vein is really quite a perfect world. As far as what he brings in, that's really up to the fans. Asking Dana White to make the decision of what the fans are going to sit down and push a button on, come on. That's ridiculous. But John would be given a piece.
I know that you say there's no risk, and what you mean is financial risk, but you understand the risk better than most. Like, what you're doing in that spot is soaked in risk. It's not financial risk. It's the risk of the future of your body.
Yes, it is definitely a contact sport, and you very much have an option to agree or not. All I'm arguing to is once you agree and you're exchanging high fives, you've got a big smile on your face, you're sending out selfies on the social media bragging about the contract, you got to honor the contract. That's reasonable. And every one of your listeners has to do that, too. And, Dan, you're a very honorable guy. That's what you do. And whether you advertise it or not, I'm well aware of
the contract.
Contract comes up, everybody wants to be in the Levitard business.
The contracts are one-sided as it regards the loyalty. There's nowhere else to go to get a contract, Chael. Like, you have to sign the contract. Where else are you going to make a living at this? Like, a proper living at this.
You're saying this to a guy who jumped ship and went to the other side of the tracks where I still reside today. You're saying this to a guy who is with Bellator now. How could you say there's not other places to go? Should we bring Frank Mir and Roy Nelson in here, or we could go the other way and bring in Tyron Woodley and Ronda Rousey, who went from Bellator to the UFC?
Yes or no, Chael, the WWE is a better option for money than Bellator. Yes or no?
No.
For you or for everybody, Chael? Because I don't think you got your facts right on this.
Whoa, numbers don't lie. I'm not in here boasting to you. Look, the WWE could be a lot of fun, but you're on the road 252 days a year. Don't forget, over at Bellator, you're on the road 3 days a year. And no, you will clear, if you're a main event fighter, much more than their top guys clear in 252 days. That's a reality.
Can you fight, Dan?
Will I fight? No, Levitard's my ace. If he challenged me, I'd have to put my ace in the ground.
See you later, Chael. Good talking to you. Check out.
Oh, I had it with you. Oh, see you later, Chael. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
SBN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Soccer Federation's board of directors voted to repeal its policy requiring national team players to stand during the national anthem. English Premier League players will wear Black Lives Matter as their nameplates on the back of their kits and will kneel in tribute prior to kickoff of the opening round of fixtures next week. And finally, Coca-Cola from McDonald's tastes different compared to other restaurant chains due to a unique delivery system, water filtration, syrup to water ratio, and cooler temperatures. Listen, I don't care what it is they're doing. All Coca-Cola should taste like the Coca-Cola I get from McDonald's. All of it. and every French fry should taste like a McDonald's French fry. Period. End of discussion. Anyway, Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 premiere of Long Gone Summer. The film takes viewers back to the landmark 1998 baseball season, its tremendous highlights, massive impact, and undeniable complications. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So this guy has been playing hockey across 16 years. Akeem Aliyu wrote something for the Players Tribune about how hockey is not for everyone. You know, Stugatz, that the black hockey player can be really lonely. I'd like to get to, before we get to the substance of what he wrote, sort of his story. So thank you for joining us, Akeem. But how do you go from born in Nigeria to raised in the Ukraine to trying to make it at hockey? It seems like a really unusual path.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me. So my dad's obviously Nigerian. My mom's from the Soviet Union. So my dad got a scholarship. It was partial track, partial school scholarship, and met my mom in university. They had my brother there in 83. After that, they moved back to Nigeria where I was born. And then we spent some time in Nigeria, then moved back to Russia again. Then we migrated to Canada in 96. And I'm sure you guys know that hockey's kind of the end all and be all in Canada. So I had no choice but to give it a try. Obviously, things were super hard in the beginning. We didn't have much migrating here. No family. Lived on government assistance for a while. So I'm sure, as you guys know, hockey's a pretty expensive sport. So I had a lot of help. But I picked it up pretty quickly. And so, I was able to move up levels and excel in the game.
Why did you decide to write what you did for the Players Tribune about the idea that hockey's not for everyone?
I mean, I've been playing pro. I just finished my 11th season. I've played in all the major leagues in the world, including the NHL. I felt that I didn't get a fair opportunity because of race. In a lot of instances and at the highest levels in the world. And I just felt that it was time to, I mean, at 30 years old, it was time to look at the next generation and try to make it a little bit different. Hockey's looked at as an old boys club, a rich people sport, sport for the privileged. So I think it's super important to find a way to get more cultures and more ethnicities involved in the game. And I think that can only grow the game. So I just thought it was important to tell my story. I know a lot of players have faced the same issues that I have. There's not many of us playing at the highest levels in the world, but like I said, I think it's time to look forward to the next generation.
What are some of the more frustrating incidents of racism that you found yourself butting up against?
I mean, it was kind of every step of the way. It was the tough part is it was constant. It was little things here and there, like, hey, cut your hair or you're not going to get called up from the minors to the big leagues. It was the way you dress, the music you listen to, the way you talk. I mean, you're always different in a hockey dressing room. In 11 years pro and then 4 years a major junior prior to that, I played with one other black guy in 15 years of hockey. So it could be a lonely place. Obviously the incident that I fell into, with my coach in the minors of, him using the N word towards me was probably the biggest. Like I said, it's every step of the way that's constant. There's a lot of subconscious bias in the game.
Did you have to be quiet when faced with the N-word? Do you have to eat that because it's in an employment setting? How does one handle that?
Yeah, I did eat it. I mean, I had to. I didn't have a choice. I was a 19, 20-year-old rookie going into my first year of pro. I just signed my contract with the Blackhawks at the time. So my voice didn't carry very far. Like I tell a lot of people, hockey's a machine. Keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and do as I say. So I knew that if I spoke up against it, those people have the power in the minors to derail your career quite a bit. So I did eat it, and all the other things you have to eat. And that's kind of why I spoke up for people to not have to deal with that and to be able to have a voice in those kind of instances.
How lonely was it?
It was brutal. I mean, in my early 20s, that's when my sleep went to hell. Wasn't sleeping much. Just going city to city in the minors. A lot of people kind of look at the guys in the big leagues and think it's all glitz and glamour. There's so much in the background that people don't realize. All the 16-hour bus rides, and it was tough. And it makes it even tougher when you're someone of color. Like I mentioned earlier, in 15 years, I played with one other person of color. So just walking in the dressing room, it's just a weird feeling. I'd say to some of my, obviously I have a lot of white friends. I was like, imagine you walked into a dressing room and you were the only white guy in the dressing room. You're the only guy that listened to hip hop or rap. You're the only one that had a fro, you know? Obviously I have a lot of really good friends from those times as well, but you always feel different, and it's been super tough. So, like I said, I'm trying to make the road a little bit easier for the next generation of kids.
Akeem Aliyu with us. You should check out the article, Players Tribune, if you want to see what his experience was like. What do you say? What's the counter to someone listening to this and saying, well, what do you mean? Sports is a meritocracy. What do you mean that your career couldn't advance because you were black?
I would say you got to spend a day or two at the highest levels of our game. When you're different, obviously when you look different, kind of the chips are stacked against you from the start. And it's because I feel like our game is so stuck in the 60s and 70s. I feel like we're so far behind the NBAs and the NFLs. Like, we have this joke going on around with some of the black guys in our games, and more people log in to watch what Russell Westbrook's going to wear walking into the arena than watch the actual game. We don't have that. We don't have personality. And if you do, you're looked down as. And I've always been the person to kind of stand up for myself and tell people how I feel, but that hockey just doesn't hockey that wants you to be as quiet as you possibly can. And I feel like that's where we're struggling in our game. That personality, that vibrancy, and just being able to reach different regions of North America and the world. And there's a reason why, if we're being really honest here, I hate to say it, because I think hockey is the best game in the world, though, outside of Canada. And I can't even say the U.S., maybe a couple of states in the U.S. and a few countries in Europe. Nobody really cares about hockey. And that's because they just don't see themselves playing in it. And that's one of the things that myself and us as a minority group are trying to eradicate and fix.
I'd like some help with this because I don't know you, and so I don't know what level of bitterness you might have inside you. But if you dream about doing something all your life, I don't know how broken you are right now. I don't know how happy you are as a human being, because this thing that was so important to you that you dedicated more than a decade and a half to, it felt like it wasn't totally fair. Like, has it seeped into every porous of your life?
That's a sensitive subject for me that when I try not to think about it as much as I can, because it brings tears to my eyes. And it's not because of what I've done in the last decade of playing pro. I mean, I'm blessed for that and I'm thankful for that, but I feel like I should have been at the highest level for that whole time. I mean, I've proven it at every level, and I never got the opportunity to do that. But to answer your question, I always think about my family and my parents for what they went through. I mean, we moved to Canada with a briefcase, and my brother, my mom, and my dad. We had nothing. We lived in a 500 square foot one bedroom apartment downtown Toronto. And what they did to give me an opportunity to even play the game, my dad delivered pizzas on bikes. My mom cleaned hotel rooms. So just for them to give me an opportunity, I always felt like I wanted to repay them for everything they've ever done for me. And I feel like that was stolen from me. So that's what really eats away at me every day. That's what gives me the sleepless nights. But I'm also positive in the fact that, hey, maybe I had to go through that to make the next generation have a little bit of a smoother path.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. We appreciate the vulnerability.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.